Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much. Bukha Torah, do not eat halam shakol niya bidvaro. Okay, we are a few days before Lel HaSeder, Seder night. One of the things we need to understand, we try and talk a little about the 10 plagues if we have the time, and one of the, maybe the basic things of everything is to understand a very interesting point. In the Agada, we see from one side Pharaoh, we are being slaved, and from the other side, we're going out of slavery to freedom. Now, what is the idea of going out from slavery to freedom? What it's all about? Shalom Aleichem. What it's all about? It's written in Parashat Achrei Mot. כמעשה ארץ מצרים אשר ישבתם בה לא תעשו. You should not do as the Egyptian did. וכמעשה ארץ כנען אשר אני מביא אתכם שמה לא תעשו. And you also should not do what the Canaanite do in the land that I'm going to bring you there. And this is a very interesting point. And our sages explain that the tuma of Eretz Israel at Canaan at that time was even worse than the tuma of Egyptian. So the question is, why is God taking us out from one kind of tuma and brings us there to even a worse place of tuma? And this is one of the interesting points. Sometimes we think that, you know, if a guy is a tzaddik, he's got no problem with Yetzer Hara. But it's wrong to think like this, because everybody's got Yetzer Hara, and in his own level. And the more you know, the fight is there still. It doesn't matter. It's like, if we want to understand, if we have a war, and the line is of the border is here, and we win the war, and we move the border, there is still going to be a war at the border here. In other words, it never ends. The war with Yetzer Hara never ends. And we have to answer. Some will say, you know what? I'll stay in my position. I don't want to have a big fight with Yetzer Hara. And in my position, I can cope with him. And if I increase my level, I will have a worse fight with Yetzer Hara. And maybe I cannot do it. I will lose the fight. But that's exactly the point. This is not in our decision. Because God gave us talent, abilities, and we have to use them. In other words, nobody can come up to heaven and tell God, you know, I did this and that, but I had a potential to do much more. Because God is going to say, sorry, you cannot compare yourself to Yankale or to Ruti because you have a different talent. You have different abilities. And according to your abilities, you didn't do your job. And it doesn't matter if you are great Talmid Chacham, a great tzaddik, or it doesn't matter, because everybody's got his job in this earth. And this is why we came here. So there are no excuses. We have to try and do whatever we can with our talents, with our potential. Now, what is this idea of bringing Am Yisrael from impurity to double impurity? The idea is that the fight that we're talking about is equivalent, if there is a great Kedusha, so there is also, unfortunately, a great Tuma. It goes one against the other. In other words, what is God really telling us? In Eretz Israel, this is the holiest country of all. And this is why you will have a fight. Don't think for a minute that you can rest and sit here and do nothing. You have the fight. And you have to know exactly what is the fight. And this is another interesting point. Let's imagine to ourselves that we keep certain mitzvahs, and we are, let's say, visiting a friend, invited us for a meal or whatever, and he, for example, doesn't keep kosher. Now, if you know he doesn't keep kosher,
you don't accept.
You know, and he knows that you keep kosher. So normally, either he will bring kosher food, or you will tell him that I cannot eat at your place because the food is not kosher. But the problem starts when I have a different level of kashrut, and the guy I'm going to has got a different level of kashrut. And it happens. Some are for them is enough, like doing like this, but for others it's not enough. Now, you have a problem. He invites you, and now what do you do? So in other words, sometimes it's better off to be invited by somebody who doesn't keep kosher at all than somebody who keeps a partly kosher. Because the one who doesn't keep kosher at all, you've got no problem. You know, he's not kosher. And he also knows. But the one who plays the game, you have a problem. And sometimes you don't even know. So this is another interesting point. This is the difference between matzah and chametz. Why, the whole year around, we are eating chametz and matzah with no problem. On the contrary, as we said before, we're doing mitzvahs with the challahs, with the chametz all the time. And suddenly, on Pesach, we're not allowed not only to eat it, bal yera'eh u'bal yematzeh. You're not allowed even to see your own chometz, yes? If it's a chometz of somebody else, it's no problem. But your own chometz, you're not allowed to see. And the punishment is severe. It's karet. Somebody eats chasel. It's a pig. He gets hit. That's what he gets. That's the punishment. Machlo balkot. But if he eats chometz on Pesach, karet. Why? It doesn't sound right.
What's the translation for karet?
Karet is like, it takes you out of this world, and sometimes even it's even worse. You lose also the next world. Karet is the worst punishment. There's a punishment from God. See, if we get a punish here, this is half a tzora, half we say. Why would you? Because if you're punished here, you're not going to punish in the next world. So some people, I'm asking to be punished here in order not to be punished in the next world, because the punishment here, is something you added and finished. But in the next world, it's a whole different story. So you're better off having your punishment here. That's why one of the answers of this interesting question, tzadik veralo, rasha vetovlo. A tzadik that you see that suffers, and a rasha that enjoys life. So one of the answers is, he did some mitzvos, this rasha, so God is paying him here. So he's got it good here, but when he comes to the next world, he will get nothing because he already was paid for the good things here, and he's going to be punished for the bad things in the next world. The tzaddik from the other side, he gets punished here for a few sins he did. But then he comes clean to the next world and he gets the whole reward that is waiting for him. So it's all a matter of point of view. And if you, I don't know if I told you last week when I, about the experience I had when I came on Erev Shabbos to Shul, and somebody was sitting on my seat. And I got very aggravated that somebody sits on my seat. And then I thought to myself, Ribbono shel Olam, wow, am I better than this guy? That's not the way to look at it. I have to look at it that he's better than me. I have to be humble, not proud. But you know, if you have your name written on the seat, yeah, you feel, wow, I am a big shot. And you know, that the feeling, you have to fight with it, because that's exactly the difference between chametz and matzah. But again, somebody told me right away afterwards, says, you're wrong what you said, because a place is very important. I said, I didn't talk about this. And by the way, the halacha says that everybody should have a makom kavua, a place in shul where he sits regularly. Why? Because this way he's got more kavana. We all know, when I am at home, I feel better than when I'm outside. When I'm in a foreign country, or when I'm in my own country, I feel different. When I have my own place, this is my place, I feel good about it. So I told him, you're absolutely right. And that's exactly the problem of chametz. Chametz is a fight to take the things that are normally can bring you to pride, to do bad things, the daily things, the materialistic thing, the physical world, the chometz. But you have to deal with it. That's why you're here, as we said. In other words, the whole year around you deal with it. Nevertheless, not only you deal with it, you make mitzvahs with it. So in other words, yes, you need to have a special place in shul. No problem. You need to have. It's a very good thing to have. But from the other side, if somebody sits on your place, you don't do anything about it, and don't feel proud that you have a seat. So it's a very interesting point to look at things. From one side, I have my seat. Wow, I am big shot. From the other side, God tells you exactly, don't think like this. This is Moshe Rabbeinu, by the way. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest guy in the whole world, but still he was the most humble one. Because from your greatness, you have to understand, who gave you the seat? Whose seat is it? God put you here. So God also tells you, "Vahavta l'reacha kamocha." Yes, sorry. Yeah, I'm not talking about... You see, the whole idea was the feeling I felt. I felt like that I am important. And why is he sitting on my seat? Not that... You see, that I should have think, okay, well, he's sitting on my seat, let him enjoy it. And I will sit near, if I get the place, if not, even far. It's not a problem, because v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, and on the contrary, because I do this mitzvah, my prayer will go up to heaven. From the other side, it is important. Let's say, it was the opposite way. I was sitting on a place of somebody, and he comes to shul, and I know that is his seat. I should get up and let him sit there. That's exactly the point. And that's not a matter of proud or pride, because he will daven better on his own seat, and that's a thing that everybody understands. But from the other side, you should fight the feeling that because you have a special seat, you're a special man. The same way as Moshe Rabbeinu, he said, everything, I'm nothing. Everything is from God. I didn't get it for because I am a clever guy. God gave me the seichel. God gave me all the knowledge. And that's exactly the point that we have, that's the way we have to think. Now, this is again, chometz and matzah. So in order for us to have the power to fight the daily fight with all the materialistic things that are surrounding us, and believe me, today we all know it's so much and so easy. So we feel comfortable, and sometimes we forget to put things in the right proportion. And this is the chametz in the worst way. But we eat chametz the whole year, because if it was so bad, we should eat matzah the whole year and not touch chametz. If chametz is yetzer hara, if chametz is proud, pride. So, okay, let's... by the way, we also have, we compare ourselves to the whole world, we eat, there are a lot of things we don't eat. So, add to the list, chametz. What's the problem? To the list of not, you're not allowed to eat a pig, you're not allowed to eat this, you're not allowed to eat meat and milk. Or add to the list, you're not allowed to eat chametz. We'll eat matzah the whole year round. What's the problem? But that's not what God wants from us. He wants us to eat chametz. But because of the fight, and because of us being surrounded with all the chametz the whole year, we sometimes miss the point. That's why on Pesach, we take away the chametz, and we take only the pure matzah. You know, what is the difference between matzah and chametz? It's very interesting. It's the same water. It's the same flour. It's the same thing. The only thing is,
no yeast.
I let it raise. There is no yeast, yes, and you put yeast on it.
No
so
yeast.
That's the only difference.
Oh, and no melach.
Yeah. Okay, that's the... So, chometz, a challah, bread, how long can you keep it at home? 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days?
In the freezer we can keep it.
Not in the freezer, outside.
A few days,
then you cannot touch it. A matzah, how long can you have it?
A year.
For a whole year.
For the whole year. Don't need to put it in the fridge. You can have it the whole year.
Really?
Yes. You don't know? Try. So you try. You can buy today, if you have a special offer, you can buy a lot of matzahs, and you can eat them in the same way you eat them today, the whole year around, with no problem. The same taste, they keep unbelievable.
Except I got rid of it for Purim.
Okay.
After Purim.
But you see, till Purim you have it. So, in other words, it tells you what is the truth and what is the lie. This, the same thing, but this is, looks very big from the outside, but inside, It's nothing. It's just proud, pride. For the matzah is what you get, what you see. This is exactly what it is. So the lesson is that what do we have to do on Pesach? We have to eat the matzah, understand the truth behind the chometz, and when we go back to eat chometz, to understand what is the important part of this challah, of this bread, and what is less important, and what we should take away. In other words, if we understand and realize that the lechem, that the chometz we eat, is involved with all the desires and the pride and all the other stuff, Yetzirah, we need Yetzirah, because that's why we're here, to fight with Yetzirah. So this week, we eat matzah in order to get the power. The matzah is also called lechem da asfuta, lechem de me'emnuta. It's the bread of belief, it's the bread of health, because it's like you clean yourself. You know, there are people that go to special places, it's very modern today, for a week to eat special food to clean the whole body. That's Pesach for us. And as we also said a lot of times, it's connected together. And when we talk about a way of looking at things, this is also the way we should look, as we said it before, not once, at the Rasha in the Agadah. We must not forget that the Rasha sits with us on the table. And we must not forget how do we behave to our children if sometimes they go in the wrong way. I read an unbelievable article from Rav Uri Zohar. I think everybody knows Uri Zohar.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting when you read, I don't know if you know how he did Shuvah. It all started when he had intellectual arguments with religious people. He was, though people think he was only doing joke all the time, he was a very intellectual guy. And one of his pride was that he could argue with everybody and win the argument. So he told, you give me whatever rabbi you want, I'll talk him out of it. He will not convince me that there is a God. So somebody told him, don't remember the name, I will send you to a rabbi that will tell you that there is a God. But if he convinces you that there is a God, what are you going to do about it? He says, if he convinced me that there is a God, I am doing tshuva. And he was happy about it, and he think, oh, now I'm going to have another argument, I'm going to show him. And by the way, this is a big lesson for us. I talked about somebody in Emuna, and somebody approached me after I talked, and he started giving me, proofs from physics about certain things that are wrong in my thinking, and the physics proves it otherwise. You know what I told him? Unfortunately, I'm not a physician. I don't know about physics anything. I'm sorry. I haven't got the brain for it. And what you are telling me now is something that I cannot answer you. If you want to talk on my own level and explain to me in a simple language, I will show you what is real belief and that there is a God, and all the arguments we have, we can argue about. But if you, when you talk with me with a different language, don't expect me to believe you what you say, because I don't understand what you say. And this is exactly the point. Sometimes we have an argument with very clever people. Don't go into it. If you don't know what to answer, don't go into the argument. There are special people that know what to answer. But sometimes we go into this argument, and we can unfortunately find ourselves sometimes going in the wrong direction. That's exactly the problem of chametz. We have to be very careful to understand and realize what is the difference between the chametz and matzah. What is real and what is truth and what is a lie. So when we talk about arguing, you have to understand that you need to have, let's say, somebody that you can argue with. Because Uri Zohar that time thought, he is very clever, and he will show this rabbi everything he's going to tell him. He's going to tell him a proof that it's not wrong. And he got to Yerushalayim to Banos Lo's neighborhood, and this rabbi, I think he called the Rab Zilberman, I think, Zatzal, or whatever, maybe he lives there, I don't know. Anyway, after the conversation with this rabbi, the rabbi proved to him that there is a God. And from this day on, he started to do tshuva. But he looked at himself in the mirror and says, I'm not going to change myself now. I have to do it step by step. And he started with lighting candles for Shabbos. That's what the only thing he did in the beginning. Then, we all know who Uri Zohar is. You know, I met him in a function, and this guy was sitting the whole function with a small book, learning. Didn't even look what's going on. If you ask him something, he answered you, and he went on learning. I don't know if you see, there was a program on television, how he lives. And how he's telling us, at that time, he was living in a villa in Yafo, near the sea. He had all the good things of the world. He was on top of the world. He was, let's say, I think one of the first celebs of Israel. He was everywhere. Everybody knew him. He was popular. He was unbelievable. And he said, I'm going, when he got in this house, this small house in Nachalot, where in Yerushalayim, he says, this guy is going to teach me what is this world. Yeah, I'm coming for this brick villa. And you know how he lives today? In the same way that this rabbi was living then. And he says, I am more happy than ever. Because you see, the real happiness is a spiritual happiness. There is no other happiness if you think about it. Because if you are fulfilled with spirit, if you are complete with what you do, this is a great feeling. And he said that he's a great educator, and he always starts, he tries to bring back those who go in the wrong ways. And the whole article was about the Ben HaRasha. He says, how do you behave to this son? And he says, the worst thing to do is, by the way, we all know it, sometimes if a son or a daughter go in the wrong way, they sit shiva, which is the worst thing to do. It's so stupid. And he says, that's not what you do. You don't come to somebody who just now had an accident and lies on the road, cannot get up. Let's do some exercises. That's exactly what he said. He said to himself, you know, what would happen if this rabbi, I would have met him years before. He said, if I would have met him years before, I wouldn't do tshuva. He says, I know a guy that at the age of 40 did tshuva. You know what this guy is?
Akiva.
Rabbi Akiva. Till the age of 40, he said, if you bring me a Talmud Chacham, I'm going to bite him like a donkey. Rabbi Akiva. That our whole Torah is from him. At the age of 40. He says, me too. At the age of 40, I changed. And if I would have met this rabbi before, the age of 20 or 30, it wouldn't have the same influence. And it's a big lesson to understand that sometimes when we see our children, our grandchildren, going in the wrong way, how should we behave with them? He says, if you see your son, or for the matter of fact, your grandson, coming back home, 4 o'clock in the morning, after going, who knows, in all the clubs and everything, what should be your approach? You know what Rabbi Uri Zohar says? You put a plate with two cookies and put a note, we love you. As we said, you remember we said how you approached the Rasha in the Agada? It's written, Afata Kechinav, giving in his teeth. You tell him, if you have been there, you wouldn't go out of Egypt. Is this really the right way? So the Rabbi Zrachi, he says, you don't say it in the right tune.
Why is it written in the Haggadah? Written in the
teeth. That's exactly the point. That, you know what he says? The Rav Ezrachi says a beautiful explanation. Unbelievable. And every year I'm talking about it. He says, we have to know that the way we talk, the way we pronounce things, makes a whole difference. We think that the Haggadah wants us to hit the guy, talk with him, like shout at him, or don't talk with him, we are wrong. The Agada wants us to understand that this guy sits with us on the Seder night. He is our son. And because he is our son, that's the way we should behave to him as a son. Which means, what do we really say? Afata akeh shinav means you have to put something that is going to hit him right in the mouth. Not literally the way we think, but in a good approach. It says,
something
you tell him, my dear son, you know, the way you go, it hurts us a lot. Because, you know, when the Geula is going to come, and the Mashiach is going to come, he's going to take all of us to the Geula. And unfortunately, if you're going to go in your way, you're going to stay here. You're going to break our hearts. You know, we love you so much. Do you realize that we will have to leave you behind? You know what you're going to do to us? You know what feeling we will have? Now, what did you do? You touched him right in the heart. And this is the only way that he's going to stay the Seder night, and maybe next Seder night, he's going to be the Chacham. And by the way, there is a very interesting point that there is not a big difference between the Chacham and the Rasha. The difference is very small. And the approach, he says, it's only through love. And he, for example, he says one of his kids, after they did tshuva, he went in the wrong way. So, one day he was standing with in a traffic light, and he told him, you know, whatever you do, you must not forget for a minute that we love you. And you know, this child slowly but surely changed his life, and today he sits and learns. Another story talk, it was this guy, a very gentle guy, a young guy, and he was learning in the yeshiva, Haredi guy, was learning in the yeshiva, but he was sleeping the whole day. So of course, eventually they sent him to a different yeshiva for children like him that have those problems. So the Rav Uri Zohar asked him, what is the difference between those two yeshivas? From what I understand, in both yeshivas you sleep the whole day. So what makes the difference? He says, I tell you what makes the difference. In the first yeshiva, when I woke up before the evening and I laid tefillin, they called me a Rasha. A Rasha? What? You wait for the last minute to lay tefillin? In this yeshiva, when I wake up to lay tefillin, say they call me a tzaddik. Wow, look how important it is for him to lay tefillin, even if it's already late. In other words, it's the same situation, but a different approach. And this is the approach we should look at things. We should understand that every coin's got two sides. As we say, chametz and matzah. At the end of the day, they are the same, but they're not the same. But it doesn't mean that we throw the chametz away and don't deal with it, because we have to deal with it. But in order to deal with it in the right way, we have this beautiful week of Pesach that we eat only matzah, and we really concentrate about purifying ourselves to the level that we can go out of Pesach and deal with the chometz, as we do the whole year around. So I wish us all that we will purify ourselves and understand what is important and what is less important. Put things in the right proportion. Yes, enjoy life. Enjoy the chometz, but not on Pesach. Pesach is holy. That's why they say in Pesach, some people do crazy things. But you have to tolerate all those crazy things. Why? Because that's the idea of Pesach. To get so far away of the chametz that you really are working on yourself. As I said, like those guys who go to the special hotel, that they eat the whole week, they're not allowed to touch anything but the thing that they put them on the table, because otherwise it's not going to work. So if we want to have the power to deal with the world in a proper way, to have a greater munah, and trusting God, and believing in God, and doing the right thing, and enjoy life. God doesn't want us to suffer. Don't think for a minute. He wants us to enjoy ourselves. But while we enjoy ourselves, we have to understand and realize what is Why do we enjoy ourselves? What is the important part and what is less important? And Bezrat Hashem, if we do this and try at least, we'll have the Mashiach coming, maybe at this year, maybe in Seder Night, we will all go to Jerusalem together.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.